This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Hotel Mars, episode N. I'm John Batchelor. David Livingston, Dr. Space, is here. Dr. Space is to help me because we're going a long, long time ago in a place very far away, the early universe, the very early universe, within the first 2 billion years. What we're looking at now is mysteries that can be resolved thanks to the genius of the James Webb Space Telescope. It was very expensive. It was long overdue. And now that it's up there, we take pride in calling upon the astronomers who are able to use the James Webb to answer questions they've long had but could not get precision or detail or the very clarity that the James Webb provides in the early universe. We welcome Dr. Anshu Gupta, a research fellow at the Curtin University in Western Australia. Dr. Gupta, Anshu, it's congratulations for your work. And what you're taking us to is 12 billion years ago to something called extreme emission line galaxies, which translates sort of into bright galaxies. I read from the LiveScience.com website by Ben Turner. The James Webb Space Telescope has discovered that nearly all of the universe's earliest galaxies were filled with dazzling gas clouds that blazed brighter than the emerging stars within them. And it could help solve a mystery that threatens to break cosmology. Dr. Gupta, what am I looking at? What have you found with clarity thanks to James Webb? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thanks for inviting me to this show. All right, so what you're looking at are galaxies which are really, really bright. And what I mean that by really, really bright is the gas in these galaxies essentially outshine the stars at certain wavelength. Now, gas on its own cannot emit light, but the young massive stars in these galaxies, they emit just the right type of radiations to make the star gas shine really, really bright and produce photons. And in the early universe, about 80 to 90% of the galaxies had this phenomena where gas outshines the star. To give you a bit of a context, in the present universe, less than 1% of the galaxy have this extreme emission phenomena. Until now, it was challenging for us to understand how these galaxies were able to accumulate so much gas and produce such intense star formation. What we are finding is these galaxies, each of these galaxies which have the extreme emission phenomena, they had at least one close neighboring galaxies. And the interactions with these close neighboring galaxies, they pushed the gas to cool down and trigger this intense episode of star formation. And that eventually produced lots of young massive stars. And these young massive stars produced just the right type of radiations to excite the gas and make it shine brighter than the stars that were exciting it.
David, you have a question for the doctor.
Yes, in one of the articles I read, it talked about this was coming from massive galaxies with as many stars as the Milky Way. So we read that in a long, long, long time from now, the Milky Way will merge with Andromeda. So when this happens, do we have this enhanced gas lighting with stars and they become very, very bright? Is that an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. It depends on what kind of galaxies are gravitationally interacting. If the galaxies, needs to have lots of gas in themselves for the gravitational interactions to then force the gas to cool down and produce this intense burst of star formation. But if the two galaxies, which are eventually going to merge, they don't have any gas left. They have already consumed all of their gas through this 13 billion years of star formation. Then even when they merge together, they won't even produce this intense burst of star formation and the extreme emission phenomena. Milky Way does have a lot of gas, but it's not as much as what we see in the early universe. In the early universe, the galaxies haven't had enough time to consume all of the gas supplies that exist around them. So they have a lot of this gas supply. And when the gravitational interactions happen in the early universe, those interactions will then produce this extreme emission phenomena. We do see some examples of it. So there is this M82 galaxy, which has this similar phenomena. It exists in our present universe. It produces these massive episodes of star formation, and it's really amazing and bright to look at. But those examples are very rare in our local universe.
And you're at the International Center for Radio Astronomy Research, and I'm presuming that's the tool you had until the James Webb. So right now you have something that nobody's ever had before, the James Webb. What has that provided you that you could be so articulate about 12 billion years ago? What do you see? What do you gain?
Oh my God, it's just amazing. The data quality, the resolution, the depth the James Webb telescope provides is just spectacular. Till James Webb came online, we could only see the bright galaxies that we are targeting. But the depth that James Webb telescope provides, it allows us to study the environment that exists around these bright galaxies with extreme emission phenomena. It allowed us to study the neighboring galaxies that exist around them and really understand their physical properties. And because of that, we were able to see, okay, galaxies with the extreme emission phenomena, they are more likely to have a neighboring galaxy. But the galaxy without the extreme emission phenomena, they do not have that neighboring galaxy. They don't show those signs of interactions with another galaxy. And this was not possible before James Webb became available.
I see. That's what you mean by clarity. You can see the two galaxies separate. And one galaxy is draining, pulling, borrowing, drawing gas from the other. Is that what... What is the proper term? What is happening?
All of them are really true. We see all sorts of things, really. So the two galaxies, they can be exchanging gas between each other, but sometimes the gravitational interaction are such that, and one galaxy is really massive compared to its neighbor, so it's sort of pulling the gas from the neighbor and producing this extreme emission phenomena. In another episode, this extreme galaxy with extreme emission phenomena, it's not really that massive, but it falls into a sort of a galaxy cluster where there are lots of other galaxies in the neighborhood, and there's a lot of gas around it. And as it falls into this cluster kind of environment, it accumulates a lot of gas along its line of sight. So essentially, all of those objectives are valid. It just depends on the system that you are looking at.
David, you have a question for the doctor.
So James Webb sees in the infrared. So are you converting the infrared to more photographic imagery, or are you doing the research in the infrared?
Both, I would say. So we do research in infrared, but when you are looking at the really high redshift galaxies, the photons that those galaxies are emitting in visible light, for example, the optical light, they get redshifted to infrared. So when James Webb looks at infrared, it's essentially looking at what those galaxies were emitting if those galaxies existed very close to us. So yeah, we do convert them into visible light and create images of these galaxies in visible light. But again, we still keep that infrared information because that tells us how far back in the universe are we really looking at?
Dr. Gupta, the James Webb, he's raised a number of mysteries about the early universe. And the ones about the formation of stars, complex galaxies forming early. I understand you're developing and testing your theory of the early universe. What does your discovery about these bright galaxies, what does it tell us about the early universe, about the origin of stars, the origin of everything? How does it help?
So, the early universe, we think that the galaxies in the early universe, we don't know how fast they accumulated or they build up their stellar mass. How fast did they grow? And it still remains a mystery. But what my study tells us is that the galaxy-galaxy interactions or interactions with the neighboring galaxy might be playing a more significant role than what we had thought earlier. Our current models or simulations of galaxy evolution, especially in the early universe, we tried to model individual galaxy in great detail and study how the star, how this individual galaxy might accumulate gas and stars. But what my study tells us that it's important to simulate and model the environment this galaxy lives in, not just the galaxy itself. It's important to model how many neighboring galaxies it's at. What are those, their physical properties? Are they really massive galaxies? Do they have lots of gas? And all of those interactions are going to play a crucial role in our understanding of how these early universe galaxies build up their stellar mass and how fast do they really, how fast does this happen?
David?
Does the Hubble telescope contribute to any of your research, or are you not using it at all?
Oh, no, we do use the Hubble telescope because especially at the lower wavelengths, James Webb telescope does not go lower than 6,000 angstrom. And whereas Hubble telescope can go at significantly lower wavelength. So if you want to understand what the galaxy looks like at, in the, for example, my galaxy, what my galaxy would look like in the UV wavelength, at UV wavelengths, then we need to rely on Hubble Space Telescope. So it is still very much relevant. And why UV region is really important? Because that's the wavelength which are going to be producing the photons that ionize the hydrogen atom. So in the early universe, the universe was just full of neutral hydrogen before any galaxies or the stars came. But as the galaxies and the stars came about, they started to ionize this neutral hydrogen. And how fast this ionization of neutral hydrogen happened, that still remains an open question. And to understand that, we really need the UV wavelengths. We need to look at how, what the galaxies are doing in the UV wavelengths. And that's where Hubble really plays a significant role right now.
Dr. Gupta, I have read without understanding the statement I'm about to make to see if I can get a question out of it. There is a new article in either Nature or Science saying they've confirmed two galaxies at 11 plus redshift, complex galaxies. Another one at 16 they dismissed. That was a mistake having to do with intervening gas. But the 211, is that something that's disrupted your work, disrupted all the work of early universe? Is what's going on right now revolutionary, rethinking what happened after the Big Bang?
Yes, to some extent. It's really changing our understanding of how fast early evolution of galaxies happened. We thought we'll find one or two galaxies beyond redshift of one. But what James Webb is showing already in less than 1 year of its data collection, it's found more than five galaxies which are above redshift of 10. And this is remarkable because it really shows that the cooling down of the gas, producing of really, really young stars and really, really young galaxies, that happened super fast. So the early galaxy evolution happened faster than what our models pre-JWST had speculated. So yeah, it has changed our model and our understanding of the universe a little bit.
We're speaking with Dr.
Destroyed it completely, changed it a little bit. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, no, it's fine. Dr. Anshu Gupta, She's at Curtin University and in the International Center for Radio Astronomy Research. And we're speaking of 12 billion years ago with David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. When we come back, unlimited budget time for Dr. Gupta. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.